irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is to share. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
Yes, it is LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night. I'm so happy you're here. I tweeted that earlier. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy everybody's here every time you tune in to Max and Friends. And even if you don't, I'm happy you're still here too, because you're here in spirit. How you all doing tonight? Hey, listen, there's been a lot going on in the news. Je suis Charlene. You all get what that's about now. Tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know your thoughts. The Golden Globes are tonight. We've got the amazing Frankie L'Officiel joining us shortly to go over best and worst dress. He's got his salon on Madison Avenue, New York. He's just a good old friend of Max and Friends, and he's been here before, and we love him. And he's going to give us the rundown of who did it well at the Golden Globes. Yes, we're like the one of the first shows to give you all of that live, because that's how we roll at Max and Friends. Then, over this week in South Florida, in Florida in general, you know, the ban was lifted. That goddess of a judge, or what people are calling Judge Sarah Zabel, she lifted the gay ban on marriage in South Florida, and right away people took to get married. I think it's a beautiful thing. It's just like what it should have always been. The fact that we're talking about it is like, really, people? Well, that's where we are in this world in 2015. Welcome back to Max and Friends. Also tonight, we've got great guests joining us. Dr. Rob and Janelle Alex are going to join us later. We're going to talk about sacred sex and all kinds of wonderful things about transcendent love making and how you guys can get into a really sexy mood with your lovers. And also with your husbands, your wives, and everybody else for that matter. But no, it's going to be a great conversation, because I love talking about how we can just enhance our relationship with one another, and how we can just collide together in this beauty, just the beautifulness of the world and of the moment and each other. And of course, dates. Are you guys into dates? Tweet me at Max Tucci. I want to know. But here's the deal. I'm going to play for you. We have it here. The court session where Judge Zabel lifted the gay ban. And when we're back from that, we have one of the first couples that was married that day. Todd Dalmea is here, and we're just excited to talk to him and his husband just in a moment on Max and Friends. Let's hear what happened in the courthouse over this week.
With respect to whether it's today or tomorrow, I think it's significant for this court, having issued this monumental order, to take the step of dissolving the stay today. The clerk wants the clarification. The plaintiffs are ready to go and perform, have the marriages done. And another day where the plaintiffs do not have equal rights, is a day that shames our country.
So in the big picture, does it really matter whether or not I lift the stay or just leave it until tomorrow?
If you're asking me, Your Honor, we're not from our perspective.
Okay. Any response?
No, yeah.
Okay. I'm lifting the stay.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends, and I've got Todd and Jeff joining me in just a moment. They were one of the first couples to marry on Monday after the Miami judge lifts the stay on gay marriage and presides over first weddings as Florida becomes the 36th state to legalize same-sex marriage. And now you all are tweeting me, why do I care about Florida? I care about the whole United States legalizing it. But I care about Florida because I live here. And so it makes a big difference in my life, because when I get to see friends of mine be able to get married and to call each other husbands and wives, and this is who I want to spend my life with, and now we can, it's a beautiful thing. So without any further delay, let's welcome Jeff and Todd Delmay, who were one of the first couples to get married that day. What was going on, you guys, and welcome to the show in your head when you heard Judge Zabel say, "I'm lifting the stay"?
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it was such an amazing feeling. We knew going into that courtroom that it was sort of 50-50. We weren't sure which way she was going to go, but it became pretty clear right away that she, saw that there was no reason to continue the stay any longer. And when she finally just, and it seemed to come so quickly when she just said, "I'm listing the stay." And, gosh, it was just exuberance. We were so excited. It was just, it changed our lives, and it changed many people's lives instantly.
Absolutely. And you can see the joy on television. You know, it was such a coverage. I remember we were watching The View, and all of a sudden The View got interrupted to talk about the stay being possibly lifted. And then they just continued the whole news story throughout the whole day. And you two, with a couple of other couples, you are like now the poster men for gay marriage in South Florida. Everywhere you turn, there's pictures of the two of you standing on with all the group of other people, just hands in the air, victory. How were those moments when you were standing at the City Hall on those steps, knowing that you guys matter? Finally,
well, you know, it was thrilling, of course, and we'd done a lot of media and stuff like that leading up to that day, and usually they come and take a little video and they usually edit it and all of that, and we knew it was going to be a big day, and we knew it was impactful. We had no idea while we were in the midst of it that, you know, they were carrying it on live TV here in South Florida, like you said, breaking into The View and all, Yeah. And so we had people who were sending messages to us saying, "Hey, we're watching you get married on live TV." It was such a circus, but there was so much interest, I think, in certainly the case. You know, we were the first case to file as a right to marry case at the beginning of last year. We were one of the first that got a hearing last summer. So I think just kind of given the history of South Florida, it had extra special meaning that Miami-Dade, even though it was only half a day sooner, got to, experience marriage equality a half day sooner than the rest of the state.
Right. And then there were signs made, "It's time for marriage in Florida." And Catherine Pareto and Carla, you all had a beautiful ceremony together. Tell us about, after Judge Zabel lifted this ban, you all were like able to marry that day. So what happened right after she lifted that ban?
Well, one of our attorneys had said to us before the hearing, if she lifts the stay, I'm going to ask the judge if she'd be willing to marry you. And by the time, she lifted the stay, we went downstairs, came out on the courtroom steps, on the courthouse steps, and our attorney came out and she said, "I've already been in touch with the judge. She's willing to marry you. All we need to do is go over and get the license." So we immediately rushed over. There were six couples in our case, Kathy and Carla and us, and then there were four other couples, but just the two couples of us that were ready to get married that day. So we rushed over to the clerk's office, which is just down the street from the courthouse, and it was just pandemonium. I mean, there was tons of media, of course, but even the clerk's office knew that this was coming, and still they had to wait until the paper, the physical order came from the judge, and as soon as it got there, they immediately issued licenses. We rushed back to the courtroom, brought back to the courthouse, and where Judge Zabel, and we were so grateful that she, what a class act that she not only, she'd written a great opinion back in the summer, but she also, in lifting the stay, really saw that it harms families by not allowing couples to get married, and for her to then be willing to marry us right there and be the first, it was such an honor. We couldn't have written that day, more perfectly.
How beautiful. And now you two have a beautiful son together. So what is life holding for you now that finally, legally, you're seen as a married couple?
Well, there are so many things that people don't even realize. I think there are over 1,000 different rights that you get. Some of it's just, very mundane things like property and, social security benefits, all that kind of stuff. But really just being seen as an equal in the eyes of the law has so much impact. You know, we were just talking with some friends today who he works in a hospital. He said even just this last week, the way that they talk to people in how they deal with, well, it's not, maybe it's not just their partner. Maybe it is their husband or their wife, you know. Just those little ways in which things start to shift. Even the state already has started to recognize, you know, couples who got married out of state, who now their marriage is recognized here. I mean, it really does transform the way that, you know, same-sex families are, you know, are treated. We're treated equally in the eyes of the law. And there are no words for that. I mean, it's just, it's pure joy. And it just feels like, you know, it's, as excited as I am to see all of these couples who've been together for so many years, there's also a very sad part of it, too. You know, there's one of the couples that was one of the first to the clerk's office, been together 47 years. You know, Jeff and I have been together almost 12. But imagine being 47 years where they were deprived. And I'm so glad they got the opportunity, but they were deprived of that for 47 years. So it's such a joy to see that change for them and their families, too.
Absolutely. Now, what advice do you give to young gay couples out there who are tuning in right now who might not be able to get married in one of these states that still has this stay and this ban? What do you tell them?
Keep fighting. As much as you feel like, oh, you know, the wind is at our backs, you know, the wind is in our sails, it's an inevitable kind of thing. It's not inevitable. We still see even states like, you know, Kansas, where the ban is overturned, the courts are telling them to do it, and still you have people who are not willing to fully comply with the law. You know, even in Florida, there were some counties who normally, when you get married, you know, you pay the extra $30 or whatever it is, you can get married right there in the clerk's office. And there are counties still in Florida that are just simply refusing to do any marriages, just so that they wouldn't have to risk feeling uncomfortable performing a same-sex marriage. So even in those cases where the states, you know, finally find marriage equality, our cases are still in the appeals courts. And
right.
I suppose,
no,
yes,
you know, I want to bring that up with you.
It could be overturned, but. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, what we found most interesting, especially watching this, was how quickly there were people to be against it, obviously, and how there were some individuals who right away said that they will provide legal services to clerks who feel uncomfortable giving licenses out. I mean, these were the words that I believe John Stemberger said. And we were like, excuse. And then what it got more ridiculous, this is where the conversation went for us, was, so then if I'm a vegetarian, do I have to give out a hunting license? Like, where do you draw the line of someone who works, you know, for the clerk's office? It's not about your opinion. It's about your job. You give the marriage license. But, you know, you would never hear a vegetarian saying, oh, he kills too many deers, I'm not giving him a hunting license. So for you, like, what do we tell people who are these clerks? Like, what's your advice?
Well, you know, I think there are two parts of it. I mean, obviously, you know, people have very personal feelings about what marriage is or what marriage should be. But there is a civil contract, and that, like I said, is very mundane, that you know, happens between two people when they get married. And some religions have, you know, a sacrament that goes along with that. But that part aside, and that's where people have the objections, usually it's a religious objection.
Right.
But when it comes to the civil side, you know, justice, you know, is blind, so to speak. And really one of our arguments in the court case, and many of them are, the constitutional argument saying that the Constitution provides that everyone be treated equally under the law. And it's as simple as that. So no matter what your feelings may be, the Constitution of the United States is the preeminent document that requires, not only, you know, marriage, but every kind of civil right that treats everyone equally.
Absolutely. Well, it's a beautiful thing that it happened here in South Florida. And it's even more exciting that there's individuals like yourself that are proud to be who you are and proud to hold that certificate that says we're equal, because that's really what it's all about. So we thank you so much for joining us tonight. Before we go, just give some more advice to those out there. What is it to feel like to be like part of the first group of gays that were married in South Florida? Because they need to hear it from you. You're the source.
Well, we got involved initially because, quite selfishly, we wanted to get married. Mm-hmm. But when you get involved in a case like this, and this is why I would encourage anyone to get, when you've got an issue that you're passionate about, to get involved, to speak up, because part of how I think these cases have been successful is because if nobody's standing up and nobody's putting their face forward and telling their story, then you can be easily demonized by the opposition. But mm-hmm. when you stand up and you tell your truth and you show your family and that you're just like every other family, people start to realize that you are just like everybody else. And I think that truth starts to you know, resonate, and people see that. And I think that more than anything has turned public opinion. People seeing that, you know, same-sex families are not some, you know, mysterious thing that they've never seen. You know, it's just, it's the people you work with. It's people in your family. It's people you see every day. And extending those rights, you know, is very important. And, you know, we all have to stand up for each other, and we have to stand up for ourselves. And
you know,
never be afraid of doing that.
Never be afraid. And I always say, together we rise, and this is something we have to do together. So I just, I applaud you both. I bow to you both. Congratulations. Before we go, what do you, because we just got a tweet, Judge Zabel's a goddess. What do you all think of Judge Zabel?
I think she's great. You know, when she, her opinion that she wrote in the summer was brilliant. If you get a chance to read it, it's amazing. And, you know, I really think she saw the human side of it as well. And, we're eternally grateful for her, not only lifting the stay a little early, you know, letting us get married right away, but for her actually to do the honors and marry us herself. That was really impressive. Class act.
How beautiful. Well, as the both of you are as well. And thank you so much for joining us tonight, Max and friends. We're going to follow you. I'm going to talk to you guys after the show this week because I'm in Florida, so we'll all get together and say how you're doing in person.
Okay, great. Thanks.
It was a pleasure having you both on. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks.
Have a great night. Well, everyone, you see, together we do rise. It's a fact. It's the truth. And the only way that we can be equal is when we look at each other and say, I love you. You're equal. You're my brother. You're my sister. You are just my beautiful human being that's experiencing this beautiful world with me here on Max and Friends. So thank you all for joining. Get the kids out the room. It's time to hide the kids because we're going to talk about sex. Hit it.
Drop it. But that won't stop it. Talk about sex on the radio and on the video show. Many will know. Tell it like it is. Tell it how it could be. Tell it like it was. Tell it how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice. Change the station or pause.
I wanna talk about it. There's just no way to fight it. Why can't we talk about sex, baby? We need to talk about
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. We are going to talk about sex. Why? Because it's something that I think by now all of us do. And if you don't, y'all need to, because it is like the number one stress reliever in your life. And even if you don't have anyone to do it with, you got yourself. You know, I'm not kidding when I tell you this. My grandmother, she goes, why do you think God gave me 10 fingers? I was like, too much information. But she's been a yoga teacher for 40 years and gets self-pleasure. But if you're lucky enough to have a sexual lover, then tune in right now and get your pens ready, because this is a life class. Because I've got a great couple joining me tonight. They're experts in sacred and sensual relations. Doctors Rob and Janelle Alex are the co-founders of the Spiritual Peak Center, the authors Talk About It podcast, and Mission Date Night. We're going to talk about date nights, because that's a big thing. I had one tonight. Mission Date Night podcast and adventures. Together, they are the best-selling authors of Sexy Challenges, Sacred and Sensual Experiences for Lovers. They have also authored the Intimate Adventure series. Their whole list goes on and on and on. You could find them everywhere on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest, on LinkedIn, but you're finding them here tonight on Max and Friends. And we're going to talk about your sex questions here tonight. So tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know what's on your mind. Welcome to the show, Doctors Rob and Janelle Alex.
It's a pleasure to be here, Max.
I'm glad you're here, because as you can hear in my intro, it's a topic that I get excited about. And it's even in my song, my intro song, that like we even do everything from sex style to gossip. Listen in. People are listening in because they really, you know, I believe, you know, we just had a great couple who were married in South Florida, mm-hmm. and they're like equal now. And that's, Do we believe that in sex we have to be equal, or what do you guys think of equality in the bedroom?
Well, it's, you know, it's so individualized. I mean, it depends on what you need, what you want, and what you desire. There's no set pattern for it. So I was asked before, what is a couple to me? And a couple is basically two people that love each other, in my opinion. So,
yes.
So it breaks down all those barriers of same sex and everything. I don't even think of it that way.
Absolutely. And now you guys talk about intimate wealth and money magic. There's so much we got to talk about. There really is. And I just love that you're joining me. I already have a feeling that it's not going to be your first time here. So that, we'll just go off that. But before we get into the scoop of sex, because everyone's tweeting me already, and let's talk about sex. Talk about it already, they're saying. Who are you guys? I want them to hear from you who you are.
I have my degrees are in psychology and, you know, I taught dance for 20 years. I taught little kids. I never thought that I would be in the field that we're in now. But when I was in graduate school and studying the spiritual psychology, I came across an article for one of my classes that was about transcendent sex. And I call Rob Mr. Frisky. So I gave him the article. I said, honey, you're going to want to read this. And he had questions. He was like, wow. He goes, we have a great, you know, relationship and a good sex life, but am I missing something? And lo and behold, he ended up having a we both have now, of course, too, but he ended up having a transcendent sexual experience going forward. And what I consider, he had a spiritual awakening, and it just kind of transformed everything. Our relationship improved. Our sex life, of course, improved even more.
Let's stop you there, right there. Yeah. Dr. Rob, what is a transcendent sexual experience?
Well, it can be anything for anybody. People have felt like they became animals. They have felt like their partner becomes somebody else during that time. For me, it was at the point of orgasm, I got an image. This image that I got wasn't anything spectacular. It was like I was laying on the floor in a forest and I was looking up at the trees. And I thought, you know, as Janelle said, I was trying to get to this transcendental experience, and I just put it on the shelf. I was like, okay, that was nice. I saw some trees. Whoopee. But I didn't find out until later how powerful that was, because we took a trip, and for some reason I wanted to take Janelle to see go watch some whales. And she said, no, I just don't feel like that. We need to go to the Redwood Forest. And when we walked into the forest, and we weren't there more than 5 minutes, and I looked up, and it was the exact image I saw. Wow. At that moment of orgasm. And I mean, it was just like I was, you know, just gutted. I was just, all my emotions just fell out of me. I started crying. And I mean, it was just the most powerful experience that I've had in my life as far as a spiritual experience
goes.
And
that's been 4 years ago. And Rob has had a vision every single time at the point of orgasm since then.
Okay. So, well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because there's some people that can't wait to stick it in, pull it out, don't mess my hair up. So here you guys are, like, talking about seeing forests and redwood forests and all these experiences, these beautiful experiences, right before the climax. How do we get into that, and how can we experience it?
Well, I think a big part of it is about honoring your partner and really being conscious and being a very conscious lover. I think that's key. And I, for me,
give us three steps to be a conscious lover.
Really paying attention to actually feeling your partner. So, you know, we think of the word so often, if we say sensual, people make that interchangeable with, ooh, it's sexual. And it's not, you know, it's a sense. So if you massage your partner, for example, you actually want to pay attention to the way their skin feels against your skin, the eye contact. And I know it's a common tantric practice, but it's very powerful. So the eye gaze and actually looking into your partner's eyes. Those are two really powerful steps. The other one is to have the intent to consciously go into your lovemaking session with the intent of it being a sacred experience. Whether you feel you hear God's voice or whatever you want to call it, you know, any of those, you know, you may not get visions or things like that, or have a past life experience or those things. We've experienced all those things, but, you know, you have to be open to what comes through and what you experience with your lover or with yourself, because we agree that you may not have a partner.
We always have ourselves, though. But you know what's interesting is that, you know, I love when you hear the voice of God, like you just said. I always say, even atheists believe in God during sex, because they say, oh God, oh God, right? But the funny thing about that is that, you know, I believe that we are the source of divine sexual sacred experiences. And you were talking about Tantra, and you say that transcendent lovemaking goes beyond Tantra. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that?
Well, I think, you know, in our view, it is the ability to connect with your spirituality. For Rob, not to speak for him, but that is, you know, the transcendent experience has been what has allowed him to connect to his spirit guides and our spirit guides that we actually share as a couple. I don't have to do that. I've always been connected to mine since I was a little kid, but the sexual experience, when you have a transcendent experience, it also enhances your ability, your dreams, and the messages that can come through our dreams and so forth. So in our view, it takes it beyond Tantra and also merges into sex magic, which is, I kind of jokingly call it the sexual law of attraction, mm-hmm. but it's the ability to manifest things when you implement some different, I say techniques, but methods and so forth that are kind of more sex magic focused.
Okay, so people who are tuning in for the first time tonight, thank you for tuning in to Max and Friends. I'm glad you're here, and what a topic to join us on tonight on LA Talk Radio. We're talking about sacred sex, and if you're tuning in, you're like, what is this that you all are talking about? And what do you mean by spirits and sex and all this lovemaking? Well, it's true for my guests who are on tonight, Doctors Rob and Chanel Alex. They're joining me tonight. They're the co-founders of the Spiritual Peak Center. And we're talking about sex. We're talking about sacred sex. Now, you guys, I want to talk about, for people who, let's say they're together for a long time, and that spark just seems to have fizzled, how can they just ignite the light again?
Well, you know, this was the whole reason that I got into the relationship field, is because I felt like, you know, you so often hear that, you know, as relationship goes on, you become more like roommates, it's not exciting and everything. And I was just like, you know, bull crap. That's not the way it should be. It should get better. The more you know your partner and the closer you get, your romantic life and your sex life should get better and better and better. And the amazing thing is, you know, we're always changing. So there's always that relearning your partner. And this is why I started originally. I started writing sexy challenges is because I wanted couples to know there was, you know, there's more to relationship than just, you know, you get married and it's good for a few years and then it starts to wane. Because I personally believe it'll just keep going. And then when I first started writing sexy challenges, they were very physical, you know, very focused on the physical aspects of sex. And then when I had that spiritual awakening and started having the visions during orgasm, my whole life shifted, and so did the sexy challenges. And I started wanting to bring that ancient wisdom into the sexy challenges.
How fantastic. Now, before Dr. Janelle, you had mentioned that dreams. How can great lovemaking sessions enhance our dreams?
Well,
and what if we have sex in the morning?
Your sex life, your sexual energy is your creative energy. It is your life force energy.
Absolutely.
So when you can tap in to that creative energy and you have a wonderful sexual experience with your partner or by yourself, then you open yourself. You kind of open a portal. And we teach about that, so I'm going to use that term a little bit lightly here with what I'm saying. But you kind of open this gateway, let me put it that way, for information to kind of come through. It makes it easier for your spiritual guides or whatever you want to call them to kind of get information through to you. You can also say, if you want to look at it just from the physical perspective, you have relaxed yourself, so you have all these different hormones that are released within the body, all those feel-good hormones, and the brain can kind of sort things out easier and things can become clearer, so that the dreams kind of get these messages through in a different way.
How beautiful. Now, for people tuning in tonight, they've got their pens ready. They're probably just spinning. Most of them are probably ready to have sex because it's like 11:30 on the East Coast. So if y'all are ready to get into it, we don't want to keep you any longer. We're going to give you some tips right now. So what are some steps that couples can take to experience this beautiful, transcendent lovemaking?
I think one of the first things that we like to share with people is to have, again, I go back to the eye gazing, but to also sit in yab yum. And for those of you that don't know what that is, one partner would sit cross-legged, and then his or her partner would sit in the first partner's lap facing each other, and you wrap your legs around your partner. Now, you can do this fully clothed, or you can do it buck naked. Whatever feels good to you.
I'm going
to
stop you there real quick because I think this is a great scenario. What if someone has... I'm just reading a tweet, so bear with me one moment because my mind is focusing on this beautiful vision of tangled legs, and I'm trying to read a tweet. It's not working. So the question is, what if I can't even get my husband to kiss me? How am I going to get his legs wrapped around me? Okay, that's a fair question.
You know what, Max? I didn't hear what you said. I don't think either
one of you did. So the question was, how can I get my husband to kiss me when I can't – if I can't even get my husband to kiss me, will I get his legs wrapped around me?
Oh, to get him to kiss you while you're trying to get your legs wrapped around each other?
I guess the point is that the husband, this woman, can't even get her husband to kiss her. And here we are saying sit in this amazing yab-yum position. So he can't even kiss her. So how do we get our partners to get involved in the whole beautifulness of it?
If you're in a space that you're not, you know, that's where you've got to really go back. You're going to have to really take a step back and start at a place where you create a safe environment for each other so that you can be vulnerable, emotionally vulnerable. And then that's where we can lead them to the physically vulnerable place so that we feel that trust. So you have to kind of back up because it does become more of an emotional piece. Because you have to have that. You have to have that deep trust within each other or between each other to be able, to, in our view, to be able to experience the transcendent experience.
It's all about communication, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it is.
And
all right,
communication is more than just talking. I want to make that clear. Communication is about touch. It's about eye contact. Mm-hmm. It's about maybe texting each other or all the modern things. It's as well as talk. It's much more than just talk, though.
You know, I find that interesting you said that because we had a show about maybe 4 years ago and this guest would text their, I always call lover, I say partners are for business and for games, lovers are for but had this lover, and before she would get home from work, she would text him like the most bizarre statements of sex, but like hot statements. And when, you know, she got home, they were ready, but she was never able to verbalize what she would write in text. So it is, you know, that's when sexting kind of gets hot. When you can't describe it and verbally, but you can text it, try it, because it's a practice. She said it changed the world. But so let's talk about some more before, because we got to wrap this up. Wrapping it up, guys. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Now you are. Wrap it up. So, be safe. Be safe is what I'm saying. But so we're giving people some really great steps. We said eye gazing was one. Give us another step.
Well, I think the big thing is to slow down. Like you mentioned a little bit earlier, that your sex shouldn't be goal oriented. You shouldn't be rushing to that orgasm. Take your freaking time and experience it. Feel the touch, you know, enjoy. What I always like to tell, and especially to the guys, is start to get into the mindset of enjoying giving your lover pleasure. Don't just, you know, we all love it when we get our pleasure, but there's a power in being able to go, oh, I'm pleasuring her, or I'm pleasuring him, and feeling good about that, because that's part of the orgasm too. That's a very deep orgasm when you can feel good knowing that your lover is just thriving because they're getting so much pleasure.
How beautiful is that? And then it enhances the moment. I always tell people when we have sex shows here on Max Friends, just enjoy the moment. Turn the phones off, lock the doors,
yes,
send the kids to camp, do whatever you need to do. But
right.
Just be with each other, enjoy each other. And don't worry about anything else, just the moment. Don't even worry, just let it all go. Just like that, when you get to that moment of ejaculation, let it go. The truth in that afterwards is beautiful. So we have eye gazing, slowing down. What's another one that we could just give people who are like living to try this right now?
Well, I think kind of taking off of what you just said, let it go, because so often, especially here, well, not just in the United States, but here in particular, so many of us have been raised with certain belief systems, and that this is wrong and this is bad. And of course, you just, you know, had that with your earlier guest, you know, the idea that same-sex relationships are bad, or that masturbation is bad, or that they're evil or sinful, or those things. And so when those things get put into our minds, especially for women, it can really cause some issues in the bedroom or wherever you're having a sexual relationship.
Right.
So to be able to let those go, and that, now mind you, that's much easier said than done. That can take some serious work, and it may take counseling and so forth for certain people. Or if you've had a sexual assault, which I personally experienced in my early 20s, so I do know what that's like, and to be able to let it go. And sometimes it's not easy to do that. It took me many, 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 many years to, even with my long, Rob and I have been married a long time, but even with our relationship, there were times something would trigger something from that experience years ago. So, and then if you do get to have some unique spiritual experience during your lovemaking, if you achieve that, if I hate to say achieve, but if it happens, don't be afraid of it, and don't have expectations of what it should be either.
Absolutely. Expectations lead to limitations. And I always believe that we have to disrupt the patterns and the pathology that people put into us growing up. And so if you all feel that your sex lives need to be enhanced just because you have a pattern in pathology, I'm sure that Dr. Rob and Dr. Janelle Alex would love to help you with that. How can people reach you?
TheSpiritualPeakCenter.com. So that's the easiest way to find us. Of course, like you said earlier, we are on Facebook, you know, under either one of our names, Janelle Alex, Rob Alex, The Spiritual Peak Center, or Sexy Challenges. It's really not that hard to find us.
Super. And you all, will you join me again on Max and Friends?
Absolutely.
We sure will.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Because we've got so much more to talk about it, but I wanted to give everyone a taste. So I'm going to, no pun intended, taste is a wonderful sense, people.
Yes,
that
it
you
is.
Can use when you're discovering your lover. But speaking of, does a person have to be in a committed relationship and in love to experience transcendent lovemaking?
It's in our opinion, it's not required, but we think it enhances it. When you throw that element of love and the connection in there, we feel that that can enhance that experience. It adds a different twist to it. you know, we've heard stories and we've witnessed others that have had experiences with just, you know, somebody that
we've heard and talked to people,
witnessed them telling us, excuse me, but that they can do that. But we just feel that when you throw in that love and the passion and, you know, the connection and the communication, it's so much, it's just elevated to another state.
It is. That's what really, I think, beautiful. You know, we've cheapened sex, especially in this country. And what's so beautiful is when you strip down all of the cheapness that we've created, and it's just the two of whomever, in it, or three or four, whatever game you want to play, in that moment of each other's breath and love and connection. Mm-hmm. Life is even more beautiful. And dare I say, and I will here on Max and Friends, that when you have a great sex life, your whole life in general is greater. Exactly. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. And we're both adamant that it expands beyond just the two of you as your couple. It actually expands if you have kids, if you have family, but it goes even beyond that. It just does, because you could say it's the ripple effect, but that beautiful energy flows from outside of you and it just keeps going.
It is. And all of a sudden, we're just literally, they say, the afterglow. That, keep the glow going. Thank you all for joining me on Max and Friends. We'll have you back for sure, because I want to talk about sexy challenges, because that's a good thing to talk about. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you guys sooner than later.
All right. Thanks, Max.
Have a great night. We're talking about glowing right now. And speaking about glowing, we've got the Golden Globes to talk about right now. Kim Yarbrough, Nip and Tuck. Because that's a lot that we saw tonight on the red carpet. And when we're back, Frankie Leofficiel joins us to talk about best and worst dress of the Golden Globes. Nip and Tuck.
Give us your noses and your fatty cheeks, those hanging dewlaps and that smile that creaks, that curtain chin, those gravy eyes, your waddled skin, and those breasts shaped like pies.
A nip and a tuck will do ya.
Set your back to face the rays.
A nip and a tuck will do ya.
No one will notice a trace.
My nose looked like a cruller.
Mine was Romanesque.
Give us your tushes, your wink that dives, those dumpling knees, and those saddleback thighs.
Oh, a nip and a tuck will do ya.
Set your back to face the race.
Don't handle a nip and a tuck will do ya.
No. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was my friend Kim Yarbrough, the song Nip and Tuck. There was a lot of that on the red carpet tonight at the Golden Globes. My next guest is friend to the show, Frankie Leofficiel. He's been here before, and we're giving you a recap of the Golden Globes. His salon is in New York City on 1063 Madison Avenue. Friend to the show, Frankie, welcome back.
Hey, welcome. Thank you, Max.
So there's been a lot going on tonight with this red carpet. Right off the bat, let's get into it. Who do you think should have stayed home tonight, Frankie?
To be honest, I saw a lot of bad dresses, and I saw a lot of good ones also, but it was hard to pick. I mean, for me, the worst tonight was Ruth Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like the green dress. She looked like she wore a tube. I really didn't like it. It wasn't good with her skin tone, with, I don't know, her shit, honestly. It looked like more like something you wear when you stay home than a red carpet dress.
I agree with you 100%. For the guys, who was like the worst guy in your opinion?
Matthew McConaughey.
Thank you. He needed to stay home.
It's what my boyfriend Chris is a stylist and was talking about it. He looked so, I don't know, he looked sick. He looked angry. He was like, I don't know.
Yeah, because there was food involved.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the best. Because even though there were a lot of worst, there were some really great. In your opinion, don't give me your number one yet. We'll save that. So on your top three, who were the three count on with the third best woman tonight?
The three best women without the number one. The three was like Emma Stone, Alison Williams, and Kate Hudson.
And for your number one, who did you just love?
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, you know, I've got to tell you, because we spoke during the show, during the Golden Globes, J-Lo came up, and I referred to her as goddess. It wasn't my opinion, but it is what the internet is saying. They're blowing up, calling J-Lo the goddess. But what did you have to say about J-Lo?
Listen, I love J-Lo dress, but it's always the same dress. Always a deep
look. Just different fabric.
Yeah, different fabric and different color. You look at her from years ago with PDD on a red carpet. I think it was a Golden Globe also. She was this green dress. She was a deep locket. I mean, all the time you look every red carpet. I mean, it's her signature look. Don't get me wrong. She looks stunning. She has a great body. She's beautiful. She's sexy. But, I mean, come on. Try to change a little bit more.
I agree with you. Now, you know, this one woman has been your client. You were actually the one that brought her to where she is, I believe, today. She looks fabulous. You know there's liberation because she's not with her ex anymore. But Katie Holmes, I think, looked amazing for Katie.
Yeah, Katie Holmes looked amazing. Just didn't like the hairstyle. The fake ponytail extension was way too long.
Well, because you cut it all off for her. You gave her that bob.
I did the bob years ago. But, I mean, I love her with long hair. But let's be honest, it was, like, too much, way too long. Yeah.
The face looked good, though. The face looked good, and you can tell she's in a happy place.
Her face on makeup. Okay, what's going on with the people there? I was watching the Golden Globe. Everyone was so greasy and shiny.
You know, and here's from experience, because I've done this whole red carpet nonsense before. You know, people, we get there like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're on this red carpet in this hot ass weather. And you just, this is the problem. Everyone's concerned about, you know, their publicists and this and this. Tell your stylist to give you, you know, those pads that people like absorb grease from their face. They need to invest in those because 2 hours of red carpet and the sun beating on you, people look like crap and they're tired and no one wants to be there. But speaking of looking like crap, there was one guy in particular that I thought looked amazing was Jared Leto. Didn't he look good?
Oh, yeah, he looked great. I mean, I love all the time. He's like untraditional. He wears different pattern or different cut on his tuxedo. No, he looked fantastic.
Who was your favorite guy?
For me, it was Matt Bomer.
Yeah. And now, you know, I've got to tell you, the older women looked great. Jane Fonda looked amazing.
Oh, listen, Jane Fonda, yeah, she's fantastic all the time. She's a great woman. She's funny. She's sexy. I mean, how old is she? She's like 60, something like that.
But she looks good.
Yeah, she looks better than some of the young actresses.
Right, and then someone's tweeting me right now, Gwyneth Paltrow looked a mess. What did you think about Gwyneth Paltrow?
She was like boring as hell, as usual. I don't know. I'm not crazy about this woman. She's
right.
So
she
boring.
Needs to come and see you at the salon.
Yeah, she goes near me, but she doesn't come to me.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
One I really didn't like it was... who's always the worst look ever. She never looked good. It's Lena Dunham.
Oh, but that's just always a given. That's always a given.
This one, I haven't seen her one time in a red carpet look good. I mean, I'm sure she's a fantastic woman, but our stylist is awful.
So listen, Frankie, work, because I'm getting a tweet now, right now. What's next for you? People are asking.
What's next for me? I'm actually working on a big project coming in a few months, so I cannot say much about that. And developing more about the product line also for Shop HQ.
How
so
fantastic.
Besides that, it's like, I have like a big project I'm working on, so that I will let you know when something happens.
And now people can find you on Twitter and, of course, at FrankieLeFichiel.com. Your salon is in Manhattan on 1063 Madison Avenue. Frankie, it's been too long. I thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure otherwise.
Of course. Have a beautiful night. I'll talk to you real soon.
Okay. Thank you, Max. Bye.
Good night. All right, y'all. We got to wrap this show up. I'm just getting a bleep in front of me that it's time to go. Time to say I love you. Time to say good night and good karma. Your life is big. Keep reaching. And to get this show and all the shows of almost 7 years, go to latalkradio.com /Max. There you'll find an array of beautiful guests like Jackie Collins and Barbara Taylor Bradford and Lisa Lampanelli and so many wonderful people like Eva LaRue and Emily Proctor and Adam Rodriguez, and Frankie L'Officiel has been there too. So we just have a fun time with Max and Friends. Thank you all for joining us tonight. I hope that you all were inspired. And of course, to all my guests who joined me, it's been fabulous having you on the show. We're going to talk more about sexy challenges on Max and Friends in the near future. But until then, I love you all for listening. Good night and good karma. Take this week to the max. I'm Max Tucci for LA Talk Radio's Max and Friends.